Yeah, sorry I wasn't here. Nobody told me that I was getting an award. And so I knew I was talking at 2:30. And so I got up at about 5:30 this morning in Columbia, Missouri, and jumped in my truck and started driving to be able to get here in time to give this talk. And then I've got to head back after this, and then I'm going to Ireland. So I'm really a little bit pressed for time. So if I'd known, I would have got up a little earlier and been here. So I apologize. But the reason for that is, of course, is that the rumors are all true. And it turns out here's me over here, and here's a 50,000-year-old Neanderthal. And it turns out that about 2.7% of my DNA originates, or is estimated to originate, in Neanderthal. And that's, of course, why I never made it on time today. But my wife was not in the least bit surprised to understand this, to hear this. The only thing that surprised me is that when Dorian got himself genotyped and then posted his results on the web, he turns out to be about 2.9% Neanderthal. So he's even more Neanderthal than I am. All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about three projects that we're working on. One of these is a respiratory disease project. Second one is the feed efficiency project, and the third one is a fertility project. And I'm going to sort of tell you about, they're all at different stages. The first two are 2 years into the project. The respiratory disease project is led by Jim Womack at Texas A&M, but a lot of the work is done by these three groups of people down here. Holly Nyberg's the coordinates the research, and I spend most of my time coordinating with and doing the research that I'm going to tell you about today. And then Alison Van Inen and the Extension, Milt Thomas, and Robert Hagerbaugh are handling the educational part. This is a five-year project. It's 2 years in. It's $9.7 million total. And what it's all about is trying to identify technologies that we can use to improve resistance in the cattle population, the national herd, to bovine respiratory disease. And we identify bovine respiratory disease using a scoring system that was developed by Sheila McGuirk, who I think is at Wisconsin. And basically they use rectal temperature, cough, nasal discharge, eye sores, ear scores on these animals, and then they give them like a severity score from 0 to 3 for each of those. Once you've gotten that done, you sum the scores for each of these, and any animal that has a score of 5 or greater is considered to have respiratory disease. So it's actually a binary trait. You actually get these underlying latent variables that tell you things about whether the animal is sick or not, and then you sum them all up to come up with an overall score for whether or not the animal's got respiratory disease. So what we're interested in doing is sort of understanding genetically what's going on in these animals that have respiratory disease. And one of the major goals of this project is to try to come up with molecular estimates of breeding value for susceptibility to respiratory disease. And so to tackle that, we've actually got four populations of cattle, 2,000 Holstein calves that came from California, 800 Holsteins that came from New Mexico, and then the beef animals. These populations have already been gathered and analyzed. In fact, I spent all last week analyzing data on this population. And these are beef feedlot cattle being reduced right now by Mike Engler, who's helping us capture these animals. And I think we're about 1,200 animals into that population. And this population is yet to be assembled. And those animals have all been, the first two populations, the Holsteins that I'll tell you about today, have all been genotyped with the Illumina high-density assay, so nearly 800,000 SNPs. They've also had an awful lot of diagnostics run on them from nasal swabs. So these guys have swabs put in and harvesting from the pharyngeal cavity. And then that goes off to the University of California, and they run assays to see whether or not they have presence of mycoplasma and various other pathogens that are believed to be associated with respiratory disease. And that's all been done. DNA's all been extracted, genotyped. We've analyzed this population, and we've also analyzed the population from New Mexico. It looks like a quantitative trait. So it looks like any one of these Manhattan plots. This Manhattan plot just says these are chromosomes, and there are nearly 800, well, there's probably about 650,000 SNPs represented here on this axis. So this is the 40,000 SNPs on chromosome 1, and the strength of signal, in other words, the extent to which it predicts that there is a gene in that region of the chromosome that influences whether or not the animal has bovine respiratory disease, is determined by how high these peaks are. We're actually, three separate groups are analyzing these data using three separate methods. So I'm a GBLUP aficionado. I've written all my own software. I'm comfortable with it. I analyze by GBLUP. Chris Seabury at Texas A&M has been using Golden Helix software. And I think Holly Nyberg has been analyzing the data with Plink, which is just another computer program that's used in the human field for identifying genes. And what we find is we do find that there are large effect genes in this population that underlie susceptibility to respiratory disease. And what the color codes here reflect how many of the analyses that we've done actually found those. And there's a lot of concordance here. So I think there are 13 different regions of chromosomes that we find genes of large effect underlying respiratory disease. So, but it does look like a quantitative trait. There is not just a single gene that determines whether or not these guys are going to be susceptible. Heritability is 21%. It's remarkable. It's remarkably high in that population. And these are the heritabilities for a lot of the other traits that we've got, including the clinical scores, the cough. These are the things that get put together to actually determine whether or not the animal's got BRD. And the heritability, as I said, is 21%, which is actually remarkably high. We've also analyzed the data that we produced for 800 heifers that were collected in New Mexico and done all of the same diagnostics for pathogens that are present within that population. And we've done all of the analyses, and the heritability is the same. The heritability is at 21% in New Mexico in these Holstein calves. These are all young calves that are sort of between about 40 and 70 days of age, and they're in basically calf rearing facilities. But here's the thing that is really staggering. If you look at the SNP effects and the correlations between SNP effects in the California animals, developed from the California animals, and the New Mexico animals, the correlation is zero. What does that mean? What it means is that if we develop a prediction model to predict genetic susceptibility or resistance to bovine respiratory disease in California, that model will not work in New Mexico, in Holsteins. And reciprocally, if we build a model in New Mexico and we try to apply that to Holsteins in California, it won't work. So this is kind of like having a molecular breeding value or a genomic enhanced breeding value for weaning weight in Angus cattle that'll work in Missouri but won't work in California. That's kind of bizarre, isn't it? Turns out it's actually not bizarre. It turns out BRD in California is not the same as BRD in New Mexico. Why? The pathogen population is completely different. So the pathogens that cause disease in California are different to the pathogens that cause disease in New Mexico. And these animals, they're sick, but they have completely different sets of genes responding to the different sets of pathogens. So it really means, I think, we're going to have to try to drill down into this a little further and try to identify what the causal variants are for a number of those genes and do it on a pathogen-specific basis. We were sort of pretty excited about the idea of actually computing molecular breeding values for all of the Holsteins, because these Holstein calves that we have, we've got 2,800 of them genotyped. We sent the genotypes to George Wiggins at the USDA. He ran them against all of the bulls that have been, Holstein bulls that have been genotyped in the US, and we actually identified the size of over 70% of these calves. So we know that 70% of them were produced by the individual AI size, and what we wanted to do was come back and produce molecular breeding values for BRD resistance in that set of bulls, and then ask the question, do the calves that get sick and the calves that don't get sick, do they have bulls that are substantially different for their molecular breeding values? They should, if this thing works. The problem is we're going to have to do that separately for New Mexico and California, because they're really looking at different diseases in those two different states. We've done a challenge study because one of the things we're interested in is trying to identify what the genes are that were in those QTL regions. I showed you 13 different QTL regions, and we don't want to know what the genes are that are actually responding to these pathogens and helping these animals either stay healthy or actually have mutations that cause them to get sick. So we've actually done two challenge studies now. One was due in 2011, and the other one was in 2012, where we took two animals in each group in 2011, came back and did it with another four in 2012, and we deliberately infected them with these pathogens, let them go about a week, they got sick as hell, they were euthanized, and then we took tissue samples from these animals. And we're interested in looking at gene expression in a number of different tissues that are associated with immune function. And we've already done that for the 2011 data, and this just shows you kind of an experimental design. We actually do RNA-seq. It actually uses a sequencing technology to be able to do the gene expression. We take all of these animals, we extract RNA from the tissue that we're interested in. Here it's the bronchial nodes. And we pull it in tubes, we put it on a sequencer, and we generate a large number, about 80 million reads, or 30 to 80 million reads per sample. The default is to use some software called Tuxedo Suite to analyze these things, and we've already had some success with that and published some work based on that. And here's an interesting result that I just wanted to show you. This is called a multidimensional scattering plot. It doesn't really matter what that is, but it's based upon the genes that are differentially expressed in animals that have these different diseases. And if you plot the first two axes, these are principal component axes, and you look at what you see on these axes, it's really very cool. It turns out that gene expression in the bronchial node can tell us whether or not the animal is infected with a bacteria. So these animals here, these little numbers here, represent animals, and they're plotted according to their gene expression differences. And this group here all cluster because they're infected with bacteria. So there is a common immune response associated with being infected with bacteria. These guys over here are all viruses. We have one little bacteria down here all by himself, which we're not quite sure what that means. Maybe he also has a virus that we don't know about. We have two control animals. This axis actually tells us about if the animal is healthy or sick. And the animals up this end of the axis are healthy. The further you come down here, these animals are sick. One of our controls didn't end up here. It ended up down here. And that's because later on we actually found it wasn't actually a control, it had been infected with a bacteria. So it works. Finally, in this project, we're actually interested in what are the pathogens that cause animals to get sick with BRD? We know a few of them. We know about five or six of them, Pasteurella and Hemolytica and stuff like that, that they actually cause the disease. But in the data that we've generated so far, if you look at the California data, there's about 2,000 animals there. They're equally divided between males and females. And about half of them have BRD and half of them don't have BRD. If you look at the clinical data that we got on those animals, we've probably got about a half of the animals that have BRD, we actually found a pathogen in that animal that we know causes BRD. The other half, we didn't. So why are they sick? Because they have some pathogen that we don't know about that causes BRD. So the question is, can we identify other pathogens that cause BRD? And the way we're doing that is to do something called metagenomics, call it booger genomics, because we actually stick a swab down into the pharynx of these animals and capture all of the goop that's down in the pharynx, pull that out, and then we extract nucleic acids from it, and we try to figure out what those nucleic acids came from by sequencing it. And so we've done a couple of these experiments. This first one didn't work terribly well because we got 68 million sequence reads, and it turned out that only 6 million of them weren't CAG. Right? If you stick a swab into a CAS nose, guess what? You're going to get a lot of CAG DNA. But there were only about 6 million that weren't CAG. And the reason for that is it turned out that that swab was blood, had blood on it. So when they stuck that swab into the CAS nose, they actually made the CAG bleed, and the swab ended up with blood on it. We've done this experiment a second time and used the swab that didn't get a lot of blood on it. And we get half the reads that don't come from CAG. Or what do they come from? It turns out that there are now about 12,000 different bacteria, fungi, viruses that have actually had their genome sequenced. And so what we're doing is we're taking all of these sequence reads, we're aligning them to the public database and saying, what do we find? And we find a lot of the things that we know. We find Pasteurella, we get a lot of E. coli, we get Mannheimia, we get Mycoplasma. So we find the things that we know that cause bovine respiratory disease, but we find a lot of other sequences that we just don't know what they are. I mean, they belong to some pathogen that hasn't been sequenced yet. And we have to try to figure out at least what genus it belongs to. So that's a quick heads up on the BRD project. Feed efficiency is a project that I lead at the University of Missouri, and it involves 21 different investigators from 11 institutions, and Matt Spangler is, of course, part of this, as is Dorian that's sitting over there. And we're doing some very parallel stuff. And what I'll tell you about is the data that we've generated right now to be able to construct MBVs for feed intake and therefore for feed efficiency in cattle. When we wrote out the grant, we said we would collect about 8,000 animals that had individual animal feed intake, and to the best of our ability, we would also collect ancillary data like carcass data or ultrasound data on these animals. And that we had enough money in the grant to genotype about 2,400 of them. We targeted 8 separate breeds, and here's where we're at as of about March. So we've actually gotten about 3 breeds, I think, that we have substantial numbers of animals. Scimitar Angus crossbreds that were produced and fed at the University of Illinois. We've got a big group of Herefords here, 850 Herefords, that were fed, I think, in Nebraska. Doug Olson fed those. And then about 1,600 Angus animals, the majority of which have been fed at Missouri. We've got some Gelbies in there, we've got some Limousines, we've got some Charolais. We've got about 900 Charolais that are currently being fed at the University of Illinois. We just got some Red Angus animals turn up, so the animals are still coming in. So these numbers are over 9,000 right now, and we've got over 6,000 of them genotyped. So we've actually begun. Dorian has actually begun analysing these animals. This just tells you where they came from. Dorian has started analysing these data sets, and he's done an initial analysis with Marty Sacchi, looking at individual traits by individual breed types. And what we find for dry matter intake is very nice heritabilities overall, from 27% to 41% in Herefords. Doug Olson really knows how to feed these cattle. He's got really nice heritabilities. This is mid-test metabolic weight, which is one of the components that we put into the calculation of RFI. It tells us something about the maintenance requirement. Bigger animals have larger mid-test metabolic weights. They have larger maintenance requirements. So we have to put that into the calculation.